We're taking our Bible reading tonight from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And can I also join with our brother in saying it's good to see each one tonight. And we've come to the penultimate meeting of this Gospel mission. And there's just one meeting to go. So, each night has been important, but as we come up to the conclusion of the mission, it becomes especially important. Delighted to see so many young people here tonight and have the young folks from Crossgar singing. After the retirement of the Reverend Cecil Mineri, I was in charge of Crossgar, but there wasn't many of these young people there at that stage, and they weren't in this world. But I remember the time that Kyle was born and a lot of prayer had gone up, and it's great to hear him testify of the grace of God in his life. And what the Lord has done for him, the Lord can do for each and every one. My friend, if you don't know Christ, that is very important in your life. In fact, there's nothing more important than knowing Christ. We're reading a couple of verses from Luke chapter 19 and the verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. God will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Can we just bow for a moment's prayer? Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice again tonight that we can gather together in this manner for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And we're glad that we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And our Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, for its power, and ask that its truth will be hidden in our hearts this evening. Realize there's nothing hidden from your all-seeing eye. And Lord, we realize that you see us tonight. You know everything about our life in detail. Realize, even as Hagar said, Thou, God, seest me. And we do ask in these closing moments for judgment day on this day. We pray that business will be transacted in every heart, and that your name will be exalted. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take the very last phrase of verse 5 to form the basis of our text and message for this evening, where it says, Today I must abide at thy house. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Zacchaeus. Today is a very, very important day. And I want to say this, it was an important day in the life of Zacchaeus. It is a very important day in your life and mine. In fact, when you examine the scriptures, that was the most important day ever. In the life of Zacchaeus, that was a very big day. Because that day, everything was changed not only for time, but also for eternity. And when we come into the message, you will discover that there was never a day like that before in his life, and there would never be a day like that after that day when he encountered the Savior. Because that day God, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, walked across this man's life and stepped right into his life. With the result, nothing was ever the same again. His life, once for all and forever, was totally revolutionized, altered by the gospel of Christ. I want to emphasize the importance of this day. Decisions made this day are very, very significant. Opportunities that are given to us this day may never come again. God in His Word places great importance upon this day. And therefore, it's this day that we want to consider for a moment or two. You see, people are forever living in the tomorrow. What you will do tomorrow, what you will be tomorrow, where you will go tomorrow. But God is putting the emphasis upon today. Hence He says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. As we come to look at the significance, the importance of this day, I want you to notice three simple things with me in regard to this character by the name of Zacchaeus. And the Bible reminds us of the constraint in his soul. In verse 3 it says, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He sought to see Jesus. The importance of the whole message, the significance of that whole chapter, hinges upon the very first phrase of verse 1. For there the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. In other words, as Jesus passed through Jericho on that day, and that was an important day, and again I emphasize this, and we'll see it in a moment or two, there was never going to be another day like that for Zacchaeus. For the simple reason, Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho. Times of gospel mission are times of opportunity. They're also days of responsibility. And the hymn writer says, Jesus is passing this way. Maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as Savior, you know everything about Christ, but you don't know Him personally. You've never had that encounter with Him that Zacchaeus had that day. And I want you to grasp the significance of this night. And even to every young person, there might never be another night like this in your life. A lad from our own congregation, coming from one of the after church rallies. That was his last night. What an awful night that was, to get a phone call in the middle of the night. The lad had been tragically killed, turned the family's life upside down forever. That was his last night. There wasn't going to be another night. Young person, this may be your last night. There may never be another night. And I wonder if this is your last night, should you be involved in an accident the way home from this meeting as he was and ushered into eternity. Do you know Christ? Are you sure you're saved? Have you made your calling and election sure? We need to understand the importance of this night. Now thinking about the constraint in his soul, in that he wanted to see Jesus. Notice his attitude there. The Bible, of course, tells us that he was a chief publican. And when you and I think of publicans tonight, what do we think about? Somebody that's in the liquor trade. Well, that's not what he was. A publican was a tax collector, and a chief publican, well, he was in a very unique position, which resulted in living a very, very remote life, and a very, very isolated life, and a very lonely life, because they lived lives of awful corruption. Thus, people wouldn't socialize with them. When the Bible talks about a chief publican, what they would do was this. They would rent or buy an area of the government for the collecting of taxes. If we can bring it down into the city. And so a chief publican, he would rent or buy from the government this area for the purpose of collecting taxes. The government may set the tax level, say, at 10%. But the chief publican, he would maybe set it at 20%. But the government didn't really care. As long as they got their 10%, they were happy enough. And so, the Bible says he was rich, but he was rich dishonestly. He had robbed and thieved and taken money by corruption and deceit, with the result that they often became a sort of outcast among the people. Must point out, there's nothing wrong in being rich. There's many Christian people and they're rich. You're not looking at one of them, of course. But he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he was a sinner. And the only thing that takes a person to a lost eternity is sin. And sin manifests itself in a multitude of ways. And it did in this way, in the life of Zacchaeus. But you have his effort here. The Bible says in verse 4 that he ran, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. Publicans or chief publicans were not often found among the followers of Christ because of their notorious lifestyle. But he wanted to see Christ. Now, salvation's of the Lord. But we have a responsibility. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we have a responsibility of putting ourselves in the place where God can speak to us. The Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And I'm sure tonight that we're speaking to people who have heard the gospel from the very earliest days of their life. But it is one thing to hear the gospel. It is quite another thing to heed the gospel. And here's an opportunity for this man to see Christ. It's hard to understand what was going on in his mind. But there certainly were things going on in his mind. Because the Bible says that he ran, he climbed up into the tree, for he wanted to see Jesus. The amazing thing is this, Christ came and stopped right under the tree where he was. That was not by accident. That was by divine purpose and plan. And there were things that must have gone through his mind. I wonder what's going through your mind just now. Get out of this meeting as quickly as you can. And what if death comes at the end of this meeting? Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus came and stopped under the tree and he looked up and saw him. And there for the first time, this man must have realized, Jesus sees me. And always remember that, folks. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, Jesus sees you. Remember Hagar in the wilderness? Thou, God, seest me. And you and I live in a land of debauchery and murder and shame and corruption on every hand. And there's people who murder and kill and steal and all the rest of it. And they steal away in the darkness of the night. And they think nobody knows what they've done. The Bible tells me that God has seen it. And God has written it down. Because the Bible tells me God keeps a record of our life. And one day, God, as we pointed out last night, will open the books of heaven, and there will be the record of our life. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And Zacchaeus must have realized that day, Jesus sees me. Friend, if you take nothing else away from this meeting, take this away. God sees you. And that's a solemn and searching reality. Not only must he realize that Jesus sees him, but then the Lord said to him, Zacchaeus. He didn't know this before, but he knew it now, that Jesus not only seen him, but Jesus knew him. He's calling him by name. And of course, the Lord knows us by our very name and knows the very hairs of our head and has numbered them. God knows more about your life than you know about your own life. Because he is your creator. And something else. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He must have realized that Jesus not only sees him and Jesus not only knows him, but actually Jesus wanted him. That's the truth of the gospel. The Savior wants you tonight. And he wants you as his child and wants you to experience the new birth, the joy of sins forgiven, eternal life in your heart. Doesn't matter who we are, what we are, Jesus wants us tonight. But there was not only the constraint in his soul, but I want you to notice the command from the Savior, because that was a very, very important day, a very significant day, and Jesus said, today I must abide at thy house. That was a vital day, there was an urgency in it. The tragedy is this, folks, that while many things claim our attention, and demand our response when it comes to spiritual matters, we filter away those God-given opportunities as if we were going to live forever, as if today wasn't that really important. But this day is very, very important because there's never going to be another day like this in his life. Jesus said, today I must abide at thy house, and there was an urgency in that. And there's always an urgency in this day, and there's an urgency in this meeting, and there's the urgency of the matter of your soul's salvation. You should not put off until some other time what God's demanding you to do tonight. And I say that again because of the importance of this day. And we'll see that in a moment. That means, folks, that salvation is imperative. It's not optional. It's not that you can or you should or you may or you might be saved. The Bible says you must. For neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. We're looking at a must in your life. In fact, I'm not so sure that anything else is a must. But your salvation is a must. You see, that was visitation day in his life spiritually. And again, we have to emphasize, if God has spoken to you during the mission, God speaks to you again tonight. You need to recognize your day of visitation, because every day is not a day of visitation. We said there in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And the situation is this. Jesus is on his way up to Jerusalem. He's now passing through Jericho. And why that day was so important was this. Jesus was not coming back. In other words, if Zacchaeus had said, not today, tomorrow, that would have been a day too late. That would have meant he had missed his God-given opportunity to get right with God. So today is always an important day. And more so than that, folks. If you study the Bible, you will discover this. That the conversion of Zacchaeus that day is the last recorded conversion. Before Jesus died on the cross, with the exception of the dying thief. Therefore, that was his last opportunity ever to meet with Christ. Hence the Bible puts great emphasis upon this day. But it was also a victorious day for him. Because that day, he set out to see the Savior, had his encounter with him, his life was changed, his life was transformed. That's how it is with salvation. Now, there's many people in Ulster tonight, I want to say this reverently, they make a profession of faith, their life's not changed. There's no evidence of spiritual growth, there's no interest in the Bible, there's no interest in the things of God. Yet the Bible tells me, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's why the Bible says, you and I are to make our calling and our election sure. Friend, are you sure you're saved? Now the Bible tells us we can be sure, and that's not presumptuous talk, because there are many who say, well, we don't know, we can't be sure, but the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And Jesus said, I give to them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So we can be sure. That day changed the life of Zacchaeus. And my friend, this is an important day. You should, like Timothy, lay hold upon eternal life, lest you sin away your day of grace. Had Zacchaeus waited one more day, been lost forever. And as the Bible tells us, we know not what shall be in the morrow. Our life's a vapor, it appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. Therefore, we must seek the Lord today. I'm reminded of the story of Gorman Jones. Gorman Jones was a Welsh miner, and God wonderfully saved him. And he felt that God was calling him to preach the gospel. He didn't have a lot of education. He didn't have Bible school behind him. But he gave up his job as a miner and he bought a little portable hall and he went around the mining villages of Wales having gospel mission just like this. And he would go to the pit face in the morning and give out little leaflets announcing his mission. And when the men were coming out of the pits in the evening, he'd be there reminding them about the mission. And his little missions used to be packed to capacity because the miners saw him as one of them and they all went to hear him preach. But one night after preaching the gospel, he did something that he'd never done before. He gave a gospel appeal. He was a very quiet spoken person. And he asked the congregation to bow in prayer. And then he said, if there's anyone here and you would like to be saved, I'm asking you just to slip your hand up and take it down again. And to his sheer amazement, nobody put their hand up. He was shocked because he felt God had told him to do that. And he did something else that he'd never done before that night. He walked down the pulpit steps and he walked right down the aisle and right down to the back seat where there was a young man and he had his head buried in his hands. And while the congregation were gently singing the invitation hymn, Gorman Jones put his hand on the young man's shoulder and whispered in his ear, "Young man, don't you think tonight you should give your heart to Jesus?" And with fury and rage in his eyes and face, that young man lifted his head out of his hands, and above the singing of the congregation, he shouted out, "To hell with you and your Christ!" Gorman Jones said, "Young man, the plank for your coffin is in the undertaker's shop." And he walked back up to the pulpit, closed the meeting, and went home. And he didn't sleep well that night, thinking what he'd said to the young man, "The plank for your coffin is in the undertaker's shop." But you know, in the early hours of the morning, when he got out of bed, there was a great commotion in the village. The place was full of miners. And he went out into the street and mingled amongst them and asked them what had happened. And they told him that after the meeting last night, they had gone to the mines to work the night shift. But one of the mines caved in and 6 men were tragically trapped. And they worked endlessly through the night to get the men free. And they got 5 of them free. But when they got to their last man, sadly he was dead. It was the young man who said, "To hell with you and your Christ." You see, that night was important because that was his last night. If we said to you tonight going out the door, "Don't you think you should be saved tonight?" I don't think anybody's going to say, "To hell with you and your Christ." But friend, it's a dangerous thing to gamble upon the uncertain tomorrow. For tomorrow may just be eternity hidden from your view. You have this constraint in his soul. He wanted to see Christ. You have the command of the Savior, "Make haste, come down." And you have the conversion of the sinner. It was red letter day. He heard the Savior's voice and he responded. Let me just conclude by saying this. First of all, he heard the Savior's call in verse 5. "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." There were many things could have hindered him. And when you and I think about giving our life to Christ, there's many things that will hinder. Many things that will seem to be a barrier. There was, first of all, his position. He was not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. You have the matter of pride and riches dishonestly. And Satan will always bring up a reason why you shouldn't be saved. And maybe it's position. Maybe it's the fear of man. You're afraid of what people might think or people might say. Have you told them that you'd become a Christian? There was the matter of his past. Because he had deceived people, he had taken from them dishonestly. And sometimes the devil will throw up the past. And there was also this problem. The Bible says that he was a sinner. In fact, when Jesus went to his house, the sinners in the community said of Christ, "He's gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." Even the sinners of the community, they looked upon Zacchaeus as the biggest sinner of them all. But the Bible tells us for that reason Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save sinners. And friend, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that you and I are sinners. By nature, by birth, and by practice, yet Christ, he says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he heeded the Savior's command because in verse 6 it says this, he made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully or gladly. Again, emphasizing the urgency of the matter of our soul's salvation. When he heard Christ's call, the Bible says he came with haste, or he came immediately. The hymn writer says, how long will you go on in sin? Everybody intends to get to heaven. My friend, when do you plan to start? We all had to make some preparation to come to this meeting. When do you plan to make any preparation for heaven? And he came with haste, again reminding us of the urgency of the matter of our soul's salvation. What will your response be? Just give me a little longer. Oh, the world, it is so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight. I conducted a mission of this nature in a little orange hall in County Armagh. Many people came to that mission and many people got saved. But there was one young man in his early 20s. We couldn't get him to come to the meetings. He was a farmer. He was cutting grass. It was that time of year. The mission went for 6 weeks. And he never found one night that he could come. He was so busy. In fact, you could hear the roar of the machinery in the fields at night while that gospel campaign was taking place. Many of his family came to that mission and got saved. But he never came. And the mission closed on the Sunday night. And the following Friday, and I'd left that area, the following Friday, I got a phone call from his mother. She was devastated. She was heartbroken. She asked me to come down to see them. And when I came down, she told me the story. That morning, that Friday morning, the first Friday after the mission shut, he was putting 2 cows or beasts into the trailer to take them to the mart. And as he lifted up the tailgate, he took a massive heart attack, a young man in his 20s. It was an eternity. Seemed that he had his whole life before him. But that mission was his God-given opportunity. This mission is your God-given opportunity. This night is your God-given opportunity. Remember what the Lord said to the foolish young farmer who said, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater. God said, thou fool, this night. Thy soul shall be required of thee. If this is your last night, is it heaven or hell? Job says, man dieth, he wasteth away, he giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Friend, where will you be 5 minutes after you're dead? But you can settle that matter for heaven. You can come to the Savior as the case came, and you can come with haste and come immediately and come now. And Jesus says, him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Would you come? Tonight. Now. Let's bow together in prayer.